Thanks for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there are some elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or even unlocking their growth, that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations. So every episode, take a journey with us as we speak with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts. Whether we're in Boston, Worcester, or out in Springfield, maybe even in the Berkshires, we'll be here every week and we'll explain to you more about manufacturing and what's happening right in your own backyard.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele, and today we have a different spin to our podcast. We held a House of Lean webinar event and have transitioned that over into this podcast episode you are about to listen to. So sit back, relax, and enjoy our version of the House of Lean. We will begin by introducing everyone that's involved and for you to learn a little bit more about our subject matter experts and what our House of Lean entails.
We have with us Emma Mailman, who is our marketing coordinator, and the one and only Ron Giard, who is one of our business development advisors here at MassMEP. He's gonna speak to everyone a little bit later on in the presentation. Our facilitators for the day, though, are Mr. Brian Harvey and Mr. Henry Hall. So they will be with you, and they're going to talk us through a little bit about the House of Lean and what we do at MassMEP. So we wanted to welcome everyone. Before we get started on this, everybody knows today's Valentine's Day. Yes, right? Henry and Brian, did we do anything special for the loved ones today for Valentine's Day or no?
Not yet.
I did.
Henry, what'd you say?
I had a card waiting for my wife.
Wow. Exciting.
When she woke up.
Nice.
Now, you know, you did encourage people to pop the questions this morning, and I just, you know, I'm married.
You're right, Henry. I did encourage them to pop the question. Good point. You will walk away with quite a few takeaways from this webinar today. Obviously, the takeaways that we think are the most important are going to be those from the House of Lean, but in some other areas, you might get some good jokes as well. So get your pad and pencil out, your notes section out on your phone, however you take notes these days, and you might want to jot down some of these fun jokes that are going to come your way. So let's get started. Brian and Henry, we are here today to talk a little bit about the MassMEP House of Lean. If I was somebody that owned a manufacturing company and was learning a little bit about Lean, but really had no idea what it was at all, let's start. So Henry, can you, and then Brian, you know, please make sure you add in as well to this, how or what would you describe the House of Lean to a new manufacturer that knows nothing about what it is?
Well, first off, you don't have to own the company. You just have to kind of be a manager or something within the company. But you know, the House of Lean, House of Continuous Improvement, however you want to phrase it, it's got a metaphor for the implementation of a continuous improvement system, starting from the foundation of a company, which is typically your managers, owners, stakeholders, and then building up to very efficiently run, organized manufacturing floor.
How about you, Brian? What would you say?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You know, it's just a process of going through a number of different steps to try and improve efficiency, to try and improve productivity and profits, and ultimately, you know, be a better run facility. I always used to say, you know, I want this site, this manufacturing site, to run uneventful, that everybody's day be uneventful. And by employing many of these tools and tips and tricks, it can facilitate that and have everybody have a good, productive, efficient, non-eventful day at work, and everybody goes home safe at the end of the day. But it's not a short, this isn't a short exercise. This isn't something you do quickly. This is typically, you know, as they say, it's not a sprint. This is a marathon. This is a journey. They call it a lean journey. And this, if you do it right, it takes several years.
Okay. So I don't have to be an owner, which is good to know. And it's definitely a journey. So I'm looking at something that's going to take some time and really, you know, looking at investment of time. I know a lot of people today are, and we'll get into your summary of your takeaways that you have, and we'll kind of break them down a little bit further. But I think one of the biggest questions we get today is, when you're doing, time is obviously, it's our largest asset that we have. And in having that, I think a lot of manufacturers right now are with the pipeline, with what we're going through from the pandemic. They really want to know what will be their return on and their investment in getting involved with something like this. So before we jump in and kind of break down these takeaways, can you, either one of you or both of you, give a little bit of a perspective on that? If I, you know, is this something that as a manufacturer, you're taking them off of the floor? What could possibly be the return from that investment down the road?
Well, our intent is to make companies, and we've been very successful at it, more efficient. And that efficiency, what we strive for is increasing your capacity without increasing your headcount. So you end up shipping more product out into the marketplace with this roughly the same amount of people. Our job is to, you know, save jobs and increase jobs. And you do that by increasing, increasing market share potentially, and increasing your capacity, so you can sell more into the market. You sell more into the market without adding cost. You become much more profitable.
Yeah, and as Henry mentioned, it's the topic of time, right? And it's trying to reduce the amount of time that it takes to manufacture a product, but that doesn't mean that we're trying to speed up people, right? That's one of the big misconceptions, is everybody thinks we're trying to make people work faster, harder, and just whipping them. And what the use of these lean tools does is it exposes all of the wastes that are in your process, material waiting for something, whether it's tooling, whether it's a setup, whether it's for more information, waiting on other people, equipment to be available, people that are trained to run that equipment. And if you can use all these tools, what you're really doing is eliminating much of the waste in the process. And by virtue of eliminating that waste, you've created that capacity that Henry was talking about. So it's not making more from the few people that you have. It's eliminating a lot of the non-productive time, non-value added time, we call it, and eliminating that or reducing that, so that you now have productive or value added time to be able to make product. And that's where you get your capacity increases.
Okay. All right. So let's get into kind of like the nitty gritty. Everybody hold on tight. This might get a little bumpy here. As a pilot would say, what are they put the, we put the seatbelt sign on. So we're going to get started. So walk us through this. And you guys, you know the nitty gritties of this. So let's start. And then let's start with what we have first. So how about Brian, why don't you walk us, you've done this in a step for us. And I'm sure there's a reason behind it. So there's a method to the madness. So you're going to be able to also walk us through how the process works. So let's start with this.
Yeah. So as I mentioned earlier, it's all about eliminating waste. And we like to talk about the eight wastes. You hear sometimes the eight deadly wastes. And there's a few acronyms for it. But the one that we use here is called downtime. And it stands for all of these wastes on the screen. And that are bogging down your business and consuming time in your process. So the acronym we use is downtime, and it stands for the elimination or reduction of defects. So that's quality problems or bad information, among other things. Overproduction, overproducing product, making too much, either finished goods or making more within your process than the next operation can consume in a given period of time. Waiting, again, that can be waiting for setup changes, people, equipment, materials, parts and components, et cetera. Non-utilized talent, so that's underutilizing people. If they're standing around, they're underutilized, they could go and help someplace else. Or perhaps they have a talent or a skill that you would like to exploit, but you don't know about. And so you want to try and find out what their talents are, what their aspirations are, and go and use those talents to help forward your business. Transportation is all about transportation of primarily parts and tooling and things like that around your facility. So moving it from place to place to place consumes time, could potentially create defects and damage. So you want to try and minimize or reduce that. We used to talk about pickups and put downs. Every time you pick something up and put it down, you're wasting time and you're potentially causing other scrap or other kind of damage. Moving on here, we've got inventory in excess. So again, that's making more inventory, finished goods inventory than you need. You could produce a whole bunch of inventory thinking you're going to sell it, but you end up not, or it could become spoiled if it's a perishable type item. Or you could have an engineering change that now makes this all obsolete. So now you've got a bunch of inventory that you either need to rework or scrap. Motion is primarily talking about people. Movement, walking, bending, squatting, sitting, reaching, anything like that, that causes fatigue and it's a waste of time. And we want to try and eliminate that and smooth down people's motions so that they work efficiently and effectively. Don't get fatigued and everything is kind of within their grasp. And then extra processing is just over-processing the product or service beyond the customer's expectation, adding more value to it than they're expecting or that they're willing to pay for. And so those are the eight deadly wastes. And those are the wastes that I was talking about that we want to try and ideally see. The first step is learn to see these wastes and see them in your business. And then when you can see them in your business, then you can start to identify what they are and how they got there and create steps to eliminate them. So those are the wastes in the process that we're trying to eliminate that will create additional time for you to have more productive, time to produce parts.
Yeah. So I have to ask those questions. Do you guys come up with downtime all by yourselves, or is that's old school, right?
That's old school. Yeah, there's another one out there. Many people might know of Tim Wood. It's basically the same, letters, just all kind of reorganized.
All right. Tim Wood with
an E. That's another acronym.
Maybe. Yeah, Tim Wood with an E on the end.
Middle initial is E.
Oh, Timmy Wood. Okay, got it. All right. I'm going to come up with my own acronyms now that I've heard those. So, Henry, what's your joke for this one? Come on, you got something.
We did Dot Wimpy. That's the way I was taught. Dot Wimpy.
Okay. It works. I will not ever forget any of these. I'm just going to say. So do you have anything to add to this, Henry, or should we just kind of keep moving forward?
Keep moving forward, but I do have one thing to add is you know, when you look at the non-utilized talent, one of the things to keep in mind through this process is that you really try to get the people on the production floor involved in identifying these wastes and helping to solve them. No one knows more about the people that do the operation every single day.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We try to suck their knowledge right out of their head.
All right. So we have this use value stream map to identify bottlenecks and non-value added time. A value stream map, is that something like you would find in your car and you use it to get places, or what kind of map is that?
That's GPS. Haley, that's GPS.
Okay.
A value stream map is essentially a very simple visual blueprint on how value goes through your production, or actually how it's defined by the customer and is processed through your facility and then back to the customer. It talks the value added. Whenever you change the form, fit, or function of a part or a service for that matter, you want that to flow right through with minimal, basically with minimal downtime. Mm-hmm. And this map basically maps it out for you.
Okay, so this little pie chart here, what's this 5% VA, 95% NVA?
Yeah, and typically in a lead time of most companies, 95% of the lead time is non-value added, i.e. you're waiting for something, you made defects. So in the total scheme of your lead time, only 5% are you really adding value to the product. And as you eliminate the downtime and the non-value added, you end up with more value added time, which is kind of the secret to increasing your capacity.
Yeah, so like I had mentioned earlier, the goal here is not to concentrate on making those people do the value added, that 5% value added faster. In fact, if you said, if I could do magic and make them go twice as fast, maybe that grows from 5% to 10% of this pie. Okay. But if I concentrate on that 95% of the pie and work on eliminating some of those wastes, whatever that time is now becomes available time to make new parts, to have value added time. So we concentrate on trying to reduce that 95. If we can even cut that in half, now that pie is only, you know, roughly 45 or 50% of the whole. And that all becomes now time to make new production, introduce new product lines and things like that. Bring in capacity that maybe you have outsourced, et cetera. Reduce overtime, all that sort of stuff.
Okay. Oh, conduct Kaizen events to reduce waste. That sounds like some kind of a party or something you would do. Sounds pretty fun, a Kaizen event.
Yep. You're thinking of a keg party.
Oh, wrong one. Sorry, Henry, I get lost sometimes, I forget. Okay, so what, conduct Kaizen events to reduce wastes. Give us a little bit more on that.
All right, well, generally speaking, when you're looking at the House of Continuous Improvement on the right, you'll see a series of topics, pull Kanban, cellular flow, point of view storage, setup reduction. Those are all the kind of the tools of continuous improvement. And to apply those tools of continuous improvement, when it's a fairly significant change, you conduct what's called a Kaizen event, which is, you know, typically 2.5-3 days, where you get a few subject matter experts, a supplier, a customer, and you get together and address a problem that is negatively impacting your value flow, and have a 3-day event, which is really just a big meeting where you actually come in and solve a problem, make change, and make your process better.
Okay.
Right. So the stair steps here to this building, this facility, is the value stream mapping. So that's the process that we use to go in and sort of assess the business, mm-hmm. and lay out what that product value stream looks like for any given product in your facility. And then from that, we can identify whether setup is a problem and you have long setup times and that's causing you some problem, or there's you know, you can't find anything. You're constantly searching. So that might be where we would use some of the 6S visual controls, letting people know, you know, where things need to be, where we are in the production process, how to safely walk and maneuver a facility so that you are safe. Changing plant layouts and putting equipment really where they need to be instead of where they are. Many times we just put the newest piece of equipment where we've got a spot and it really isn't the most optimal. So we use that value stream map to identify which of those tools that Henry mentioned in the House of Lean that we use and we deploy to try and help improve the manufacturing process. Now, one thing that you know, kind of sets MassMEP apart is not only do we come in here and we do the training and we talk you through all these talking points and discuss each of these tools in greater detail, but we also conduct that Kaizen event with you. So we're doing training, you know, on half of day one or part of day one, and then we spend the rest of the time going out there on the floor with the people that manufacture the product and create those changes and find out what their ideas are and implement a lot of these tools, make things more streamlined and easier for them. And I think that's kind of what sets us apart from your typical consultant or just a trainer that comes in and teaches you something. Not only do we do that and leave that knowledge behind, but we're sort of training people on the spot so that they can go and do it themselves after we leave with the initial event as well.
So when you say those things, Brian, you're saying, you know, this isn't something along the lines of it's a buffet and I'm walking in and I'm just kind of picking the pieces that I want. There's a actual process that gets put into place by you saying the assessment or the implementation of us being in that process. I can't just pick and choose what I want.
You certainly can. And in some cases, you already know where some of those holes are. But if we were to do this in the ideal state, we would want to come in and do an initial assessment and then come in and do a value stream map and use the process of value stream mapping to identify those tools. But in some cases, you already certainly know that you have a maintenance issue. And so you want to use a TPM tool, for example, total productive maintenance, or you need better visuals, or you've got a quality issue. So sometimes you already know what it is, and you can pick and choose. But to really optimize the system, you want to kind of follow all the steps. And again, this is a process, and to really gain all the value out of this, you really need to some extent to employ many or most, if not all, of these. But again, that's it's a very very long process, and very you need to be very diligent and disciplined in doing so.
Okay. So then I'm going to assume our little next note then, implement sustainment plans. Then that's kind of what you guys were just talking about, right? The implementation of it.
The implementation, but then you've got to make changes and have checks and balances to make sure that the changes that you made stick.
Okay.
The key thing is, and it's really the hardest part in all of this, is you're really trying to change the culture. And changing the culture, you just don't wave a wand, have a three-day meeting, and everything is all hunky-dory. So we end up putting in a sustainment plan after a lot of these events and value streams to, kind of make it more of a discipline, and everyone stays with and continues the changes that we've made. Otherwise, people forget and go back to what they used to do, and you didn't optimize the time that we spent with you.
Right.
Yeah. And that's part of the time factor that I'm talking about. I used to have a boss that said, if you did it in 6 months, you did it wrong. Meaning you didn't have enough time to change the real way that you live and manufacture, right? It's not part of your DNA. You're just kind of doing it because we were told to. And so you need to create a sustainment plan so that's the normal way you do business. It's not just the practice of the day.
Okay. All right. So we have another bullet. I like this one. It's one of my favorites. This was pre-COVID, but we're still sticking with it as well right now, even after it. So lather, continuous improvement, lather, rinse, repeat.
Yeah. So the thought there is, as we talk about lean manufacturing, it's also known by other names, continuous improvement. And this is an iterative process, right? You're never going to get things right the first time. So you try something and you make it better, and then you make that better, and then you make that better, and you add different tools in. And so it's a whole process of continuous improvement. You're never, ever there. And even when you think you're there, there's still something else you can do. So that's kind of lather, go and do it, rinse, and then start the process all over again. That's it's really just a loop of continuous improvement. You never reach the journey. You never complete the journey. It's always, you're always in process.
There's always a better way.
Always. Yeah. We practice this ourselves. We have a lot of continuous improvement we like to use, whether it's something, on the marketing side, if it's an event or if it's a standard operating procedure that we do. So not only do we talk the talk, but we walk the walk as well. So it's just as important going back to it. So yeah. Go ahead, Brian.
I just want to jump in because you kind of bring up a good point. We've been talking about manufacturing. This isn't just for manufacturing. This can be in the office place too, right? Yeah. Finance organizations, HR organizations, IT, engineering, they can all benefit from some level of these. They might not have setup reduction as you come to think about it in a manufacturing sense, but there's certainly defects and poor information and waiting for approvals and checklists and things like that. People that aren't trained in certain areas. So it's not just a manufacturing tool. This can be applied in any place. And quite frankly, you can use a lot of this in your home as well.
Yeah.
How often from a office perspective, one of the more important activities we undertake is reducing the time to do a quote. You know, when a customer approaches you for a quote on something, they want to buy something. And whoever gets the quote faster stands a better chance of getting the order.
That's right.
Interesting. Okay. So I'm going to ask you this question. This is one that we have gotten, you know, creating the relevancy. So the people that are in here right now and they're listening, they want to know, you know, the relevancy of how this works. Is there someone that either of you have been working with recently, or you know a success story from, where, you know, maybe this wasn't something they had originally started and then came and we went through, you know, like what we have heard, you know, we come in, we do an assessment, we walk you through, we get you into the right pieces, and then we come in, we do the training and also the implementation, and now they're seeing that return on that investment. Do either one of you have one of those that you can kind of talk to, or if we need to put them in the witness protection program and keep it quiet, I'm fine with that as well. You can just use them as XYZ manufacturing company if you'd like. Audience is okay with that.
Henry, you want to take that, or you want me to do it?
Go ahead. You start. I'll follow up.
Yeah. So I was working with a manufacturing facility that did a lot of metal fabrication. Mm-hmm. And they were constantly running excess amounts of overtime. On-time delivery really wasn't too bad. It's not where it really needed to be, but it wasn't kind of a big problem. But really driving overtime and then you know, not having any training, that was a real problem. So we went in there and we implemented some Kanban systems, which we didn't really talk about, but it's all about a way of processing manufacturing parts only when you need them and not before you need them. And so it kind of created a forecast for folks to work towards, and the inventory would get put in there and then pulled out in a nice streamlined process. So it facilitated a lot of that. And that helped on the overtime perspective. They had a problem with cross training. They didn't have any training, really. Everybody only stuck in their own silos. And so we put in a cross training program, and we got people that used to bend metal that now wanted to become welders or vice versa, or work on the assembly line. And so we implemented that. We actually redeployed some pieces of equipment that were slower than what folks had on the shop floor, but it brought in extra capacity. Even though it was slower, it still worked, and it created extra capacity. So deploying all of that made their products flow down through the assembly line much smoother and easier. And then one last thing that we did was we worked with them. They had some problems in their warehouse area, trying to get the right items on the truck. Sometimes they couldn't find things, they'd get lost or misplaced. So we worked with them to put in an inventory management system, and that facilitated that too. So in the end, they became more streamlined, more profitable, because material was flowing through the plant smoother. People had their overtime reduced, and it was a happy thing for them, because they've been working so much overtime, it was affecting people's personal lives. Mm-hmm. So that was a welcome change. We created new opportunities for people through cross training, mm-hmm. giving them new marketable talents. So it helped us at that company that I was at, or if they moved on in the future. And on time delivery improved from, you know, low 90% up into the upper 90s. So although it wasn't terrible, that improved as well. And so using a lot of these different tools I only named a few reasons, but or a few items that we used, but that's what they did. And it really was a big improvement for them.
I had a client that made electrical components, and their typical lead time, they professed to be about 8 weeks. And when you started the mapping the process, they had a whole bunch of material and raw material, a whole bunch of inventory, raw material, finished goods all throughout their entire process. And as we worked to reduce the inventory and reduce the amount of time it took to make the parts, all of a sudden their lead time went from 8 weeks down to 4 weeks. Wow. And so they had to carry only their finished goods inventory was then therefore reduced. And it also made them more responsive to customer changes. And it also allowed them to get the product to the customer before the customer had time to change. Wow. Everyone talks about, customers changing their mind and blah, blah, blah. Give them less time to change their mind.
That's it. That's how it works. Get to them first.
Beat them at their own game, Henry, right?
Uh-huh. Way to do it. So, we're getting ready. We're going to wrap up here. But before we wrap up, I want to pull Ron into this now as well, because the reason we do these webinars is to let you know a little bit about what we do at MassMEP, who we are, and what we have to offer. And in some of our previous webinars, we've worked with our outside subject matter experts that we call them, they're our partners that we work with. In this case, our partners are our colleagues, they're our coworkers. Brian and Henry are the experts. They're our subject matter experts. So this is something more, a little bit more personal to us, a little bit more on our side, but we still have opportunities, right, Ron, that the manufacturers can use when it comes to funding and what's available to them. So if you can talk a little bit about and let everybody know what those options are, and that we really are a kind of a one-stop shop. I think when we look at it this way, we can start them from the assessment at the very beginning, go through, get them, the funding options that are available, do the training, do the implementation, and we're still here at the end just to always make sure that you're doing what you do.
Thank you, Haley. And as Haley mentioned, and actually, Brian, I think you touched on it as well. We like to pride ourselves on being not just trainers, but implementers. And then even after the fact, we're available and during the process as advisors and a support system. We are funded, we're a nonprofit funded through NIST, which allows us the ability to be available for, time outside of the actual training to support your organization. And a lot of that is covered through being a nonprofit and being funded through NIST as well as the state. So we like to let companies know that. In addition to the actual support I just talked about, there is grant funding available through the Workforce Training Fund that is available every year. And there's a couple of specific programs, one called an Express Grant and one called a General Grant. And this is money that companies can apply for to actually pay for the cost of the training. There is a cost to companies, but I don't necessarily call it a cost as much as an investment. So the cost is you have to take people off the floor to do the training and do the actual physical implementation. And we're working side by side with you as an organization. And so I like to look at it as an investment of people's time and upskilling their knowledge and their involvement in the process. So the Express Grant it's a grant where if you have a specific need. So Brian and Henry touched on the House of Lean, and ideally, you'd like to start with some lean fundamentals and then a value stream and a Kaizen. But if you have an immediate need that you want to get something in place, a Kaizen, a setup reduction you want to do, an Express Grant is a great opportunity to get some funding to pay for the training, and companies can apply for up to $30,000 a year on a calendar year basis. And companies less than 100 employees could get that reimbursed at 100%. Companies over 100 employees get it reimbursed at 50%. And that's every year you can go back to the well and get that funding that's available to continually improve your process. The general grant's more, I'll call it more transformational. What we would do is work with you, come in and do an assessment of your organization and give you a feedback, a short report on what we see. And we look at many elements of your operation, from a leadership to engaged associates, to enterprise deployment, to lean, to advanced lean and quality. And we'll give you a rating from doesn't exist to approaching world class. And from that, we would also recommend some training courses that would be available to help improve those areas. And getting back to the general grant, from that, we're looking at what would you like to accomplish in the next 2 years? And companies can apply for up to $250,000 over that period of time to do the training. And it's a one-to-one match. So the cost of the training gets paid for, and the investment or the cost to companies is people's time. So the cost need of the program needs to equal the investment of people's time, and it would be hours times their wage plus benefits. I always like to say, start with an express grant, get comfortable with us. Mm-hmm. And then during that period of time, we're identifying some of these other opportunities down the road. As a result of engaging with MassMEP, we need to be graded. And because we get funding through NIST every year, they will do follow-up surveys with companies and ask, you know, did you get the value from MassMEP that you were hoping to get? And so there's impacts. They look at sales, that increase sales, retain sales. It looks at job headcount increase, retain jobs, cost savings. And they put this all together and they look at the results of the impacts and how you liked engaging with MassMEP. And as a result of that, we get funding every year through NIST. So there's in the one area that always gets concerning to companies is, geez, I got to get involved in grants. And knowing the state and the federal governments and grants, and really this is state related. This is the workforce training fund through the state of Massachusetts. We have on staff grant writers that will walk you through the process. So before and after. So it's not just the getting the applications in and submitted, but then submitting for reimbursement. We're available to support you through that process.
Yeah.
So with that, I think those are some of the highlights in regards to the additional things outside of the actual training that's available that a lot of companies are just not aware of. And I like to say we are still one of the best kept secrets, and we can help you access support from other organizations within Massachusetts, such as Mass Development, Mass Tech Collaborative. We work with a lot of the universities on support systems that are available for the manufacturing ecosystem. And we'd love to be able to come in and at least, you know, introduce ourselves and hopefully build a relationship. And it really is a relationship. It's not a one-off, get the training done and get out. Is we're really looking to build partnerships with companies.
Yeah. So Ron, I like it because you were going with the Valentine's Day theme. So it's almost like the Express Grant is kind of like you're dating and, you know, you're just getting to know us a little bit. You go into the general grant. That's a long-term relationship. Henry, I know this is going to be upsetting to you, but I didn't get any proposals for you in the chat throughout. But
I'm happily married. I don't want to.
All right, good. I wasn't sure. But no, we're kind of keeping that theme. And, you know, like you said, the assessment, we're getting to know each other. I look at these webinars are almost like blind dates that we're going on all the time, you know, with anybody that doesn't really know us and they're hopping onto a webinar with us kind of like, oh, what's going to be on the other side of this? I'm not really sure. So we're sticking to that today. We're going with the Valentine's theme. So it's all love in the house of Lee.
For people to pop the question.
No. So, well, I mean, I think we've really covered it all. If you have some, you know, when you go back through and you kind of reflect on what we've discussed today, and we've given you a little bit of insight as to, you know, what we do when it comes to the House of Lean and how we work with it, with getting to know. And if we come in and you're interested and you're thinking, what's going to push me over the edge? And, you know, I've been on the fence about this. And now after today, obviously after, you know, being enlightened by this panel that we've had with us today, these subject matter experts, and going, you know what, I think I'm going to take that first step. We've already done, you know, the blind date, we're past that. So let's jump into, you know, let's have them come out. Let's do an assessment, walk through the assessment. And then just like Ron said, we are that one-stop shop. We do have the grant writers. We're vertically integrated is how I look at it. If you look at it from a manufacturing perspective, that, you know, from start to finish. So that's the way we work. Thanks guys for jumping on today. And I think Brian, how do you feel better? You got through the trust exercise. Yeah. Was good?
No problems.
Okay.
Okay, well, thanks, Henry. Thanks, Brian. And obviously, thank you, Ron. And thanks to everyone else for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast. And we will see you all next time.
Thank you for listening to the Mass MEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can always go to our website at massmap.org. So we'll see you next time, whether it's our space, your space, or cyberspace.